The very thing that I was trying to teach this morning, and the very thing that I was trying to enlighten you with, after service, I went to a certain individual and he said, you know, said my wife said she sure would like to understand as to whether the translation is at the first of the week or the latter part of the week. And said, I'm not going to say I'm confused, but I sure would like to understand this thing. See, and that was the thing that I purposed in my heart that I would bring out this morning to get a little bit of on tape and on video and into your mind, has to take about three major things concerning the book of Revelation, since the war is coming like it is, so as to that you would not be confused when you testified or somebody testified to you or you had a discussion of the things of God. I wanted you to understand. Bible said, let everyone that reads understand. Let him that readeth understand. And so then I thought perhaps maybe I might share this with you that you might understand. Where somebody says, well, I already understand. Well, that's fine. You know, if you already know all these things, no point listening to me. No need to trouble your soul. You need to go tell somebody else or you need to be doing something else. You don't need to be here with Brother Pike tonight. I say that for the benefit of somebody that I picked up their spirit. You know, you need to go where you're going and be on your way. Otherwise, that's the only one I picked up in the whole service tonight. And I know the reason for that. But nevertheless, I want to comment just a little bit in that I intended to try to share some things with you, and I wasn't able to share those things with you. I'd like to comment just a little bit. From the beginning of the chapter, first chapter of the book of Revelation, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, we've said that so many times that when the revelation of Jesus Christ comes, that means that it is then the coming of the Lord. And the revelation foreruns as to the Gentile church, and then after that, the actuality of the coming of the body is Jesus himself as the Lamb, as to the body that was crucified, coming on Mount Zion. In the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. I wish that you could have heard today, and I wish that it was a way that we could bring it. We can't bring these things except the Lord do it. There's no way that I can bring them, though I understand them and know them. And I wish that you could have heard as we explained this as to the coming of the Lord and what it would be and how it had to do with the seals and how it had to do with the book and how it had to do with Calvary and how it had to do with so many wonderful things. Because great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I'm made a steward of the mysteries. All right. So, well, I'm a steward of the mysteries too. Well, that's great. That's great. I'm glad that you are. You should be out somewhere telling somebody about it. All right, now, so then here we are as to these things, and the first chapter of this book tells us that while John is exiled to this little island off of the Asian coast as to Asia Minor, it is here at this little island, which I say that we have found looking for it on the map. It's there. That he was exiled to this little old rocky island, and it was for the benefit of God that he might be undisturbed during the time that he wrote the book of Revelation, as Moses was for 80 days on the mountain when he wrote that as pertaining to the Old Testament. And here John is doing this. A lot of times God will kind of exile a person to get them off by themselves, to where he can talk to them to get this thing like it needs to be. All right, so for your edification, he has a book here to write it, put it in a book, and send it to the churches. And so it is, it's written, it's been put in a book, it's been sent to the churches. And the Bible says unto the churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And John, he is here in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now that's where the problem comes in there, is why is it we're not in the Spirit? We would say Sunday is the Lord's Day. If Sunday is the Lord's Day, why then are we not in the Spirit? If we live in the Spirit, why then not walk in the Spirit or be in the Spirit? See, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh or the desire of the eyes or the lust of the eyes. So then John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and in that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he heard this voice behind him. And when John turned, he saw somebody standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. And in this, he was astounded. And we have spoke of that, giving a little bit of understanding about it. Not tonight. We won't do that. But anyway, it went on here as to get over to the church ages. It was something said about the mysteries of the seven stars in his right hand. And it was said something about the sharp sword, two-edged sword, and the countenance as of the sun shining within his strength and his garment to his feet. And that's better than a lot of people do today. Even the ladies won't wear them to their feet. But anyway, he said, I'm your example. You need to follow in my steps. And he wore them down to his feet. I even saw our ladies at Bethlehem can't bear them down to the feet. They start chopping them off at least a little bit. But anyway, this was the way he wore them. And it says, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my hand, right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. These seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. All right, so then in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, I just thought I'd read that little bit to you there to give you some idea of what John saw. Then it comes down to chapter 2. That's chapter 1. Then it comes down to chapter 2, and from chapter 2 all the way over to chapter 4. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, it is the seven church ages as to Ephesus, as to Smyrna, as to Pergamos, as to Thyatira, as to Sardis, and as to Philadelphia, and as to Laodicea. And these are the seven churches, and they reach right on over. God speaks of these seven churches, and it gets right on over unto the fourth chapter. And when it comes to the fourth chapter, it is then that John saw a door open in heaven. Which door, I told you, was the door that Peter opened at Pentecost when God gave him the keys to the kingdom. And so he opened it both to the Gentiles and to the Jews. And here is the door open. Now, I could not even begin to talk to you tonight about the few things that I talked to someone about today. I couldn't begin to talk to you about these things that I talked with them today about, because you wouldn't nearly have the patience just for. It didn't take that long, but it took a good little while there. And I could never keep your attention that long because of self-discipline. But I do try to press in and get a little something over to you, at least a crumb or two, to where you can keep from starving to death spiritually. But anyway, it said that he saw this, and all of a sudden he looked and he said, he that sat upon the throne was like a sardine stone, like a rainbow, beautiful conglomeration of colors there. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. He was to look upon like a sardine stone. And he saw the 24 elders around there. there was lamps, sister, seven lamps, and then there was thunderings and lightnings, and my, I wish we could go into that. But anyway, he saw the four beasts around the throne, as to the first beast like a lion, and the second like a calf, and the third as to a face of a man, and the fourth like a flying eagle. And they were crying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." We say day and night, but really it was day, because in that city there is no night. They never get tired. And it says here, as the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, they worship him that liveth forever and ever, and they cast their crowns down at his feet, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And then he says in the fifth chapter, "I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' For no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth.'" Now this is what I was speaking of earlier today when I said that the sixth chapter brings the opening of six of the seals, and in the sixth chapter the sixth seal is open, and in the seventh chapter that the projecting of this as to an expose is made, and that in that chapter it is seen as to the great multitude in heaven, as already in heaven, that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. And in that John looked into the earth, and 144,000 was sealed in the earth. And then following the seventh chapter is into the eighth chapter, we spoke as to that which was the hail mingled with blood, as to the seventh seal being open in the eighth chapter, as to 30 minutes of silence in heaven, and then the four winds was loosed, and we'll explain to you why. But anyway, he that sat on the throne had the book. It was written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now let me explain that again. When you say a book, you know, this Bible is a book. Now, this is the back side of it. It's sealed with seven seals, as we would say as to this natural Bible or this book, if we put seven seals on the back side of it. But that isn't right at all, because it is not a book like that to begin with. It is a scroll, and each scroll wrapped up is sealed with a seal, and then another scroll wrapped and it's sealed, and another scroll wrapped, until the entirety of it as what was their book in that day, and seven seals as you finish reading, roll it up and seal it on the back, are sealed that it will not come open. And the practice of this in the Old Testament was that when they would buy a piece of property, they would get the deeds to it, they would seal it, put it in a little tubular thing, and then bury it in the ground. I'm just going to try to say a little something tonight about spiritual revelation, because I can see there is some interest tonight as we talk. I can tell that some of you kind of spruced up a little bit and made sure that you was going to get a little something. All right. So then I can hear the Lord speaking to you as to a few of these things tonight. He says here in the fifth chapter, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So then it's very evident right here that he is seeing in the fifth chapter what is projected in heaven where he is at the moment, over in the seventh chapter, and that in looking back into the earth, he sees the 144,000, the whole house of Israel, being sealed. For as it is written, out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. Then I say that with this, the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. Remember, this is seen in the sixth chapter, in the sixth seal. And as to the opening of the seal and then an expose in the seventh chapter, see, he sees the 144,000 sealed in the earth, which is the children of Jacob. Jacob, having wrestled with the angel, his name was changed to Israel, which means a prince. And from that 12 prince came, and from them the 12 tribes, which is symbolic of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and the 12 apostolic leaders. And that in the spiritual side of it, when they sit upon thrones, they will rule these 12 tribes, each one having a tribe as his very own to be a king over. So then we see that this 144,000 at this time, when they're sealed, just before the opening of the seventh seal, which is the blood coming off of the seat of atonement, as in the eighth chapter, silence in heaven for 30 minutes, just before this occurs, they are sealed, and the four angels on the four corners of the earth are holding back the four winds of the earth. And it is said that they cannot touch anything in the earth, as to the trees, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, notice this. It said, after these things, and after these things, that is the things that he had seen in the sixth chapter, as to the heavens departing as a scroll and the Lord appearing in the heavens. After that he had seen this, the sun turning black as sackcloth of hair, and the stars falling from heaven, all of this in the sixth seal. Maybe I better read it. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island removed out of their places, and the king of the earth, kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. All right, that was what I was trying to tell you this morning, that in this seal is where the heavens open up, and in this seal is where the Son of God appears as to the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and in this seal is where it is said that the church is already seen in heaven, and in this seal it is said that 144,000 is sealed within the earth, and this is what it was said as to this. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. These four angels now have the power to hurt the earth and the sea by means of these four winds. All right, now, I explained today, as we talked to some of them, I explained today some things about this as to the stars of heaven falling and what it had to do with, and mine was so beautiful as to the thing that is attached to it. So many things, if we just had hours just to take our time the way we take our time and talk to them, and we don't have to hurry at all, you know. But anyway, here it says that they're not to hurt the earth, nor the trees, nor anything, until the servants are sealed in their foreheads. Nothing can be hurt until that time. But now it says, and I heard the number of them which were sealed. Already now they're sealed before we leave the seventh chapter. to get over to the 8th chapter to the opening up of the 7th seal. Everything is already sealed now. Has the 144,000 and then the censer, that of the prayers of the saints, cast into the earth, the lightning, thundering voices, blood and hell mingled together, all these kind of things. What does it say? It says, and the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, see, that's in the 8th chapter, when the 7th seal is open. So then, what does that mean? Somebody said, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. That's because you're not paying any attention. That's because you don't have any spiritual thirst. That's because you're not hungry. If you did, you'd pay attention to it, like when you turn the bottle up and when you have the card game and when you go frolicking and you'd learn all about it. See, if you had an interest. But you that have an interest, what does that mean? It simply means one thing. That if here in the 7th chapter, it is said that these angels that are holding these four winds back even tonight while we're here at Bethlehem, if these angels have now turned these winds loose, then it says following that in the 7th seal that all of a sudden the trees that they could not hurt, the earth that they could not hurt, all of these things that they could not hurt, all of a sudden they're hurting them. Which means that the angels have had to already turn the winds loose because of that, as to saying the servants are now sealed and the owner held it back until the servants were sealed. And with this, the blood went off of the mercy seat in the 8th chapter as soon as those Jews were sealed. Somebody said, well, I would love to know, Brother Pike, what about this thing as when the blood goes off of the mercy seat? When the blood goes off of the mercy seat, it is the end of the Gentile age. When the blood goes off of the mercy seat, why does it go off of the mercy seat? Now, somebody would say, well, how do you connect it with the fact that when the blood goes off of the mercy seat, that's the end of the world? Let's look at it. So then it says, when the blood goes off of the mercy seat. That is to say, with Revelation 8 as to the 7th seal open. This is when the thing occurs. I believe that Brother Branham made the statement from what I've heard that he never could open this 7th seal as to understand it. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. And in this 7th seal is where the thunders uttered their voices and he heard them in an unknown language and could not interpret them according to what I heard. All right, now, here is the 7th seal. Open. What happens? All of a sudden the winds are turned loose. And now those things that I know to be bombs and those things that we spoke of today has to be a warfare. Now then, from every corner of the world, it speaks of the four corners of the world, from every corner of the world, now there is a move as to a power of conquest that some man feels that he can rule the world, and he comes in to take over the people to try to rule the world. Someone would say, well, you don't know that. The Bible said in the book of Daniel that these four winds were wrestling over the waters, and John said the waters were people. Evidently, it is right in what I'm saying. So then, as to the four winds being at last turned loose, it means that Israel had been sealed. And as quick as Israel was sealed, these winds were turned loose. So then, what are we waiting for in the day we're waiting? We're waiting for Israel to be sealed. God is now dealing with Israel, and he's got to seal Israel. Remember in the sealing of Israel, then it means that immediately following silence in heaven, and immediately with that following the opening of the 7th seal. Why did God do that? Why did God stop with the 6th seal and put a little breach in between that and the 7th seal as to give a 30-minute silence in heaven? For the same reason that it follows on through as to 6 sounding trumpets and a little breach as the angel with 1 foot on the land and 1 foot on the sea, hands raised to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever, that time should be no more. See, 10 and 7, why did God do that? And then comes the last trumpet. And as it is here, then comes the last seal. And you'll find the same thing happens as with the vials. It's something with God because six belongs to man. And six brings an end of things. And then with that comes the seventh, which always brings in, that is to the millennium. And following that, there's always the eighth, which is circumcision, which means the removing of the veil of death as to the intellectual thing that came from the tree of knowledge into the minds of Adam and Eve. And that always brings the new world and does away with darkness and night. So we see here that the winds has been turned loose when the seventh seal is open. And when the seventh seal is open in the eighth chapter, it indicates that now the Jews have been sealed. And so then the war has started. And it's a horrible situation, pointing on over to the battle of Armageddon, where the blood will run to the horse's bridle. I remind you again, because the rivers have been turned to blood. And the valleys overflowing with the slain is the song that we wrote. So then we find that in the seventh seal, there is war. All of them are fighting now to get control. What is it? It's Revelation 11:15, when the angel following after that as to the last trumpet sounds, and the Bible says, and the nations were angry. They were all angry, fighting with one another. Wars and rumors of wars everywhere. See, they were fighting, conflict one with another. And now they're going to try to unite in Mr. Bush's day. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? See, somebody would say, well, I believe that Mr. Bush stands for a Christian America. If Mr. Bush stands for a Christian America, then what's going to happen to the nations that stand for Muhammad and all the other paganistic practices of religion? Are they then going to walk together? Not unless they be agreed. Either Mr. Bush will have to leave God and go into their paganistic practices as to allow for all religious activities, or either they are going to have to leave their way of life and come to Christianity. And the only solution for that is one thing, and I don't mean the sacrilegious, but that is Papa, as to the Pope. That's the only one that can take them all under his wings as to the powers of Catholicism and take every last one of men and let them do any dirty, filthy religious thing they want to do as to their religious practices and still accept them. Somebody would say, what do you mean dirty religious things? I mean like in a church when a woman got up and stripped completely and she was doing something she said for God as she went through her thing before the audience. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's dirty and filthy, in case you don't know that. But it was a religious thing, and so it is that though we do not consider the other things dirty and religious, such as that which is sacrilegious, or that is to say, we do not consider the other things dirty when it is a dirty spirit of the devil, which Jesus called an unclean spirit when they damn and doom souls and steal the virtues and lives and understanding from the people. So then it is an evil thing. What is she? She is a whore. And the Bible said, the great whore that sit upon many waters, I will burn her flesh with fire. So then we see what he is trying to tell us. Now the winds being turned loose, what does that mean? It means that the 144,000 has been sealed. What does that mean? It means that the blood has come off of the seat of atonement. Why do you say that? Because God, if he doesn't take the blood off of the seat of atonement, he still has to give grace to those people during the tribulation that is rebellious and contrary, even as they are today, the Gentile people who refuse to go on with God. So then that he might punish them and bring them into total darkness by the middle of the week, which is as to a bottomless pit, he must of necessity seal the 144,000. And once they're sealed, nothing can hurt them. and then he can take the blood off the seat of atonement, and the rest of the tribulation period can come to pass, because he can pour out his wrath as to opening the bottomless pits and all of these things that will come upon the Gentiles, where the Bible speaks of the sting of these things and the torments and whatever, saying unto you and I, pray always that we might be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on the earth. So then these people who are not under grace, they've fallen from grace, therefore they are under the law. They never have been in the grace of God. It's coming even before the time of Calvary there. They just come right on past as the Gentiles, still doing their evil thing and have not been caught up into this heavenly place. All right, so then I just wish we could go into that, really go into that. It's hard for me to bypass these things, and yet I cannot stop with these things because I won't get over my little thought. So we see here that the blood is gone. If the blood is gone, then the light as to the life of Christ, which is the grace of mankind, it's gone. And that is why that there, the Bible says, and their kingdom shall be filled with darkness to the extent of an intellectual thing as to knowing their tongues from pain and no healing medicine. Because at that time of the sealing, the church is seen in heaven. So then the Jews are sealed that the earth will not be destroyed to where God can have mercy. Because if not, then the saints of God go out and there's no way to spare the earth, because God cannot look upon iniquity. So then it is that when John sees the church in heaven and the 144,000 sealed, then the light goes out and the beast's kingdom is filled with darkness, because the light of the world is the church. And when there is no church, there is no light. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right, so then we see that this is where it all takes place. Where? In the sixth seal. When? As I told you, the heavens roll back like a scroll. And in the sixth seal, when the heavens roll back like a scroll, it's evident that the Lord is there as to the appearing of the sign of the Son of Man. And all of the tribes of the earth mourn, and they run for the rocks and run for the mountains and the caves to hide themselves from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. For they said, the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So then at this time, where is the church? It's in heaven, because that's what the translation is about. He shall descend, as it is said in the Bible here, that Jesus will come with the voice, the trump of God, the voice of the archangel, and we will be changed, and then the dead shall be raised up. So then when the Jews are sealed, then it's time for the darkness to set in. We're moving now to the middle of the week, right on over to chapter 11, where it speaks of those two prophets, and the Bible said that they will prophesy for 3.5 years. It's very evident that's the first part of Daniel's last week as to the 7 years, because immediately following this, the Bible says that they are killed and they lay in the street. It is very obvious that this is before Revelation 12 as to the woman's travail in heaven and the child being born, because this in Revelation 12 follows Revelation 11. And in Revelation 12, it says another 3.5 years, whereas the woman after birthing her child, she goes into the wilderness for a time's time and half a time. So we know this is the middle of the week. It's 3 years over here for the prophet, 3.5 years over here for the church. So we find that that's right in the middle of it right there. And we could say a lot about time's time and dividing of times. But anyway, right there we see that that is the middle of the week. 3.5 years on one side, 3.5 years on the other side. And now it's time for Daniel's abomination of desolation. Jesus sat on the mount and told them, even in the 24th chapter of Matthew's, they said, and tell us when the end shall be. And Jesus said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars and all these kind of things, and children rising against parents and having them put to death, and you'll be delivered up for my name's sake, and all these kind of things, and there'll be earthquakes in divers places. He said, yet the end is not yet, but said, when you see the abomination of desolation, speaking to the Jewish people, then you know that that is the end. And he went on to point out that at this it would be the coming of the sign of the Son of Man. And sure enough, in the sixth seal, as to the sixth chapter, it says the Son of Man sign appeared in heaven. And it said that the stars fell from heaven. And all of these things begin to take place, which has great spiritual value and spiritual significance. And even today we brought these things out. So this morning you missed a tremendous heap of things that we should be able to get into, but we can't. Even as they come to my mind is so crowded about so many of them as the Spirit would like to say them. But knowing that we're limited to those things as to time and your patience and your understanding and your hunger and thirst, I just have to move on as God will allow me to say just a few little things. All right, so then we've got this over. We know then that the 144,000 has been sealed. We know then that the sixth chapter is to the sixth seal, and now the church is in heaven of all nations, kindreds, and tongues. We know now that the 144,000 having been sealed, that the grace of God is gone, the silence in heaven, and now the bones are falling. All of these things are happening. Voices and blood and hell. All of these things are beginning to take place. Now the bottomless pit is going to be opened up at the sounding of these trumpets. And men are going to be tormented by these things that come out. This is not in the latter part of the tribulation. This is in the first part of tribulation. Somebody said, well, I think we'll go over to the middle of the week. Well, I tell you what, you don't want to go over to the middle of the week. Because as to the middle of the week, by the time the woman births her child, which has to do with the natural part as to the body and the redemption of the Jews coming in, by that time, the earth has already been opened up as a bottomless pit, and the locusts have already come out, and the people are already being tormented. So you don't want to go over there. Now, it is my conviction and my knowledge and my understanding that no man would marry a woman and say, thou art my beloved bride. And I'd like for you to follow me over here. I'm going to put you in a torture chamber that'll drive you out of your mind just to see how it works before we have any love affair whatsoever. So I can't picture Christ doing that because he had more understanding and sense than all of us put together. And we have enough sense not to do that. So you can see that something is taking place here as toward the first of the week. There is something that has taken place. Now, if the blood is off of the seat of atonement, it means that the church is gone. Because what the blood is the blood-dipped vesture of the Lord Jesus Christ, which went through the experience of Calvary, that he picked up on the third day and set it at the right hand of the Father. And in that, he left that body, came back into you and I to officiate as Aaron the high priest, as the Holy Spirit, Christ the Spirit within this temple, because your body is still in the earth and through you, that is you being in Christ's stead, he might beseech the world to be reconciled unto God as to whatever measure you will allow him to work through you in, and with that he will reward you according to your labor as to whatever you submit to him as to the measure. All right, so then we see that he left his body as an atonement. He will re-enter into that body when we finish our little transition thing as to the change. And of course, again, I say we brought these things out today as to an explanation. When it comes to the place as to where this is at, which I don't have time to comment on tonight, then he will leave your body, go back, and pick up that body. Now, I'm just going to try to get in just a few little fragments tonight that is going to stir your understanding and cause you to that are hungry and those that love the Lord to really want to know more about it, but I can't say any more about it. I'm just saying this. Remember the book that was sealed. We're getting to that part now. The book that was sealed on the backside, what is it? Jesus finished that all the way from the time of Adam and the expulsion from the garden. He finished, he fulfilled everything that was required of man for redemption to take the body back. The dispute is over the body. to take that body back. He paid every price. He come to Calvary, and when he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, he folded it up as his own body, and he laid it away that we would never be under sin again. And he that knew no sin was made sin, even your sin and my sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Remember, the dispute was over the body. Why? The dispute was over the body because Satan wanted to get Moses' body. He wanted that body because that body was a great preeminence as a leader, as a powerhouse before God, as in control of the Jews, which was going to be in the control of the world. And Satan knew that, and if he could get that body, then that was what he wanted. And then when this body like unto the coming of Jesus, that when Jesus came, as the prophet like unto Moses, he tried so hard to get Jesus' body, because an angel as to a spirit hath no part in this world as preeminence to be seen and enjoy all of these things that you enjoy unless it can have a body. So, wanting a body of kingship, knowing that Moses was made God, if he could have gotten there, then he would have been God to the people. And then, when it come to Jesus, knowing that Jesus was the chief cornerstone of it all, then he chided with Jesus, he fought against Jesus, he wrestled with Jesus to make him sin at least a little bit somewhere. But Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh, but he hath no part in me." And then it was that at the time he was in the wilderness that Satan actually quoted the scripture to Jesus saying, "If you just give me your body," or that is, "if you just worship me," he said, "I would give you all the things of the world because they're delivered into my hand to give to whomsoever I will." And Jesus said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for as it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve." All right, so then we're back over to the book again. What is Calvary? Calvary is the finishing of the book. That all of the ritualistics, all of these things, that as to the keeping of ordinances and commandments and whatever, as to what Moses had imposed upon the people, these things that have been imposed upon the people are in a continuation without alteration until the appointed time as to the seed coming. And then when the promised seed comes, as through Isaac or Jesus, that is, he was a type of Jesus, the promised son, all nations shall be blessed. Or that is to say, all will receive forgiveness of sin and salvation through the coming seed. Now when the seed come to whom the promise was made, and that time drew near, as to the promise drawing near, when that time drew near, everybody began to be stirred, even the scholars and whatever. And then here come the seed, and they didn't even recognize him. And he sat in their midst as about 12 years old and astounded the great, mighty scholars as the wise men. And there he was, the walking, talking word, the manifested spirit of God, as to that word, a spirit being made flesh. And so then in this, we see that with the book, he himself had sealed it on the backside, as to saying God the Great Spirit sealed it on the backside with seven seals, as to say that was the end of the Old Testament, and now the book was sealed, as to say that the scales were now still over the eyes of the people. They could not see, nor could they be made perfect without us. And that they were back under the law, and they were sealed off from this, and now the seven seals, as being the seven spirits of God that was to be the church age messengers, or to bring about the church ages, as we say. Now, this was to be exposed to you and I, as to Christ on the inside, make an expose to you and I, to give this to us secretly, that the mysteries of God should be finished on the inside as pertaining to the thunders, which mean war in heaven, as to the lightning and the sounding and whatever, and Satan being cast out, which again I say had to do with Calvary, and which again I say that we expounded today as to the seven seals being opened and showed how that they were in Calvary. So then in this, the war in heaven, you know you'd have to understand where heaven is and what heaven is to be able to understand what we're saying, which again would take quite a long while. So then we find out that we have to understand whether it's the first heaven or whether it's the second heaven or whether it's the third heaven. For great is the mystery of godliness. And here we see then that the seals are on the backside of the book. And now the Jews are cut off. They're no more in the presence of God. They're no more in the mind of God because they had the law and none of them kept it. And now because of the transgression, they're put out of the mind of God. And God put them out of his mind so that he could blind them in part to where he could protect them. Paul said this is the great wonderful love and wisdom of God. He concluded them in unbelief that they might not know, because where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. I tell you again that sin reigned over the people all the way from the time of Adam's transgression down to Moses when the law came. But where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. And then when the law came that sin may abound, that is to that the offense might continue until the time of the Reformation, as to remove all of these things that was imposed upon the people at the time when this would come as to the promised seed. He would fulfill all of this. Then once it's fulfilled, God doesn't need it anymore. Once every bit of it is fulfilled, then he folds it up and he lays it away. And because it was accredited to the Jewish people, Jesus sealed the Jewish people in. And again, as I say, we expounded this today, how that they got sealed in and where it is again recognized and how these things come about. As to the coming back in to the Jews and why they come back in, and at the same time how he took care of the Gentiles. So we can't get into all of that. But anyway, now, what was the book as to an epistle known and read of all men? It was Jesus. And the Bible said at the judgment, and the book was open, even the book of life. And that is to say that book of redemption. And then as to say the books were open as to you as an epistle known and read of all men. Know ye not that the world shall be judged out of your book as to them doing to you as to Christ or not doing unto you. They did it not unto Christ. As to mocking you, they mock Christ. Know ye not that your book will be open as to your past? And know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? All right, so then we see what the Lord is telling us. I will write my laws upon the table of your heart, cause you to walk in my laws, and the love of God will constrain you. So we see that this book was there. So then what was it that the Lamb of God went to get? When it was said, weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book, to loose the seals thereof. He said, John, don't weep. Someone has prevailed. And John looked to see the lion, and it was a lamb. Because Jesus did not bring the victory at Calvary by being a lion. He brought it as being a lamb, as to willingness to give his life and to be as the lamb that appeared to Israel on Mount Zion as Revelation 14. But he's going to be a lion when he comes back sitting on that white horse. As that strength of that fearlessness of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he'll make the blood run to the horse's bridle to come into his kingship to sit upon the throne. John looked, and here was a lamb with those seven eyes. And he looked, and when he saw this, as to the seven eyes, the eyes of the Lord throughout the earth, beholding the good and evil, showing himself strong on the behalf of them that will believe, or that is to say the seven spirits of God, as again to the church age messengers, as those that are in the body of the Lord. They see, they understand, they project, they tutor. They are a well that's open to each generation as to their age. So then the Lamb went forth and he took the book. What was the book? It was the body of the Lord Jesus. See, when Christ leaves your body at the change, then he will go back into his body, which is at the right hand of God. And this is why the terms is used, the book was in his right hand. And this book is the book of redemption because it is the fulfillment and the record of all of the things of the Old Testament as of the Jews, even that which they had to have when they went to redeem their land. And even as the Pentecost as to the day of Jubilee and many things that needs to be said there. All right, so then what was it that he went and got? When it was finished, Jesus, he turned his back, as we say. He turned his back to where they could beat his back as to the blood running. And when the time came for the sealing as to the book being sealed on the backside, the heavens became as dark as sackcloth of hair, and God turned his back, as we would say, on Jesus. And as to that, as to the backside, numbered him with the dead and numbered him with the transgressors and numbered him with sin, that all of Israel might know that he, as their head, was a sinner as to their understanding being their head, and yet he knew no sin and was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And what the law could not do, he did it by being made in the form of an image of iniquity, as to God despising it and God smiting it to show the fall of Satan. Because when the darkness came, as we expounded today very clearly in a lot more detail, it was the fall of Lucifer, where Jesus said, I beheld him fall as lightning from heaven, and there was the thunders. But anyway, right in this, we see all of that in those seals as to where those thunders uttered their voices. Even 1, 2, 3, 4 seals, full thunders. Also was at Calvary. And this was as to the thundering. Wish we had time to comment on it. But here he goes forth to get his body, as in the right hand of God. Or does God have a right hand as a spirit? Who can build a tabernacle for me, seeing that I filled heaven and all of earth? And the only body that he's ever had for himself was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the form that is a headship over all of humanity, in which he severally divides himself as to a measure, as to the operation of life in every individual that is a believer. So he went to get his body. This was what he went for. And this book, this body, had been folded up, sealed, laid away as the little container as to the deeds in the earth. And now the time had elapsed, and now it was time to take it up out of the earth. And in doing that, also as to your membership, to redeem your body. And a lot we could say there. And then on with that, then it meant that he could loose the seals thereof. For no one in heaven, no one in earth, no one under the earth had ever lived the righteous life to fulfill the law. And now the book of redemption that could have never been as to these ordinances, whereas it had to be to bring grace on over to us, taking us out from under the keeping of all of these ordinances and these childish things, bringing us to grace. Now the book was about to be opened. The seals were about to be loosed. Why? Because, as I said, from 483 as to the end of that which the angel spoke to Daniel at Calvary and the Messiah being cut off, as to the open door as to the 7 years separated from the 490. And I said after this manner, because you by now should know what I'm saying. Over here, at last, that 7 years had come in, and that door of heaven was now shut. Whereas we expounded this very clearly today as to what that meant and how that came about, the things that we wanted to say this morning. So then we find that the door was now shut, because 483 from this last part of the seven left an open door, which was heaven. John saw it open in heaven. Peter had the keys to it in recognizing the Christ beyond the veil. And the veil was rent in twain. And the twain was as to 483 and then as to the seven. And it was only upon the Jews that the four 190 was determined. So when the time of the Gentiles is over at the sealing of the 144,000, all of a sudden the 7 years comes in and joins itself to the 483. And then there's no more gap as to the church ages, which is the open door that John saw. And that means that no one else can come in because there's no more grace as to on the blood, on the seat of atonement as to the blood. It's not there. The door is now shut. And the earthly perspective has come back in, and things that are going to be done will be done in the earthly perspective. So it means that your day as diplomacy, it has come, and now it is the lamb again. Now it is the body again. Now it is the head as to the fleshly being to the fleshly Jew. Father, spiritual as to the revelational head, Jesus Christ, as to Paul, as to the Christ part, is already over in that it has finished its course within the heart of mankind. And now it is coming back around. And when it comes back around, then that means at this point, Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? Wish we could comment there for sure. But anyway, as to coming around to this, what does it mean to you and I? He has taken the book. He has picked up that body, that blood body, that bloody vesture that's called the Word of God, which means the book that he took out of the right hand. And he's coming back on the white horse in Revelation 19 to fight the battle till the blood runs to the horse's bridle, because he's now taken the book, and now the earthly perspective has come back in as to the last part, which is 7 years, which means now he's got to loose those seals to the Jews. Even as it has been loosed to the Gentiles, as in the spiritual perspective, as to what God has revealed to us in the translation, now all of a sudden it has to be loosed to the Jews, and this is again a natural perspective. And as I say, I wish we had time to go into those things, but we don't. Or even as I said today, when we went through the seven seals today, and we brought it out as to loosing each one of those seals, and not only loosening the seal as to give what was on the inside, but a positive proof that it was as to where we positioned it, and it was as to what we had said, and it was very true as to the things that transpired during this time that showed that it was exactly the way that God had said it would be at the time of the loosening of these seals. Which that doesn't mean anything to you, because I'm not saying anything to you as to what was there. But today we took them one at a time and told how that they were very, very thoroughly, explicitly set forth as to the understanding and the unveiling, and that they had been loosed and that they were available. But nevertheless, you know, we've said what little we can say to you tonight, and we've only brought you a tiny little fragment of what we said today, and that in such a way until it would be hard for you to understand what we are saying. But at the same time, can you take somebody that is in the third grade and put them way up here in algebra teaching, or put them up here in the formulated expressions of science, and have them to understand what this is all about? All right, let's stand together. Great is the mystery of God. And the Bible said at the sounding of the last trump, those mysteries would be finished. Just a little bit as to line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. Trying to bring to you that which we understand. And it's up to you, having ears. If you have ears to hear, then God has given you the ears, because that means you are the church. But it's so beautiful to be able to differentiate between the spirit and the body, the two different worlds as to these two different people, how far along things are, who you are, what you are, where you are, and what's going to happen to you pretty directly. And to know how beautiful it is. For the Bible said, how beautiful even are the feet of those that bring glad tidings of great joy, that publishes peace. Indeed, we are children of peace, and all the paths of God are peace, and he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. But to the wicked there is no peace. That's why they're having war. When they cry peace, only sudden destruction. All right, so then we go home tonight to sleep, to wake up tomorrow as to the last day before the bloodshed of the war or whatever comes out of that meeting that they've had as to the UN. Let's sing together, can we? I say again, I know that it being on Sunday night that you get a little bit weary and a little bit tired. But you don't know what you're missing, and you don't understand. You just don't understand what you should understand as to what God is wanting you to know. Our ambition, for as it is written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. And you have so much zeal in that you're the house of God as to the bodily temple. You as to your ego on the inside, as to your intellectual reasoning, you in your ambition, you've actually eaten up God as to the mind of God. Your zeal for your own thing has driven him clear out. And you've made his temple, even your own mind, a place of money changes as to the devil and a den of thieves, as to covetousness of the things that Satan savor which be of the world. As to the love of the world in you, the love of the Father is not there. And so then in thy zeal you have eaten me up. As it is written, he said to the Jews, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, going about to establish your own righteousness. You stumble at the righteousness which is by God. And of course the Gentiles are no different, going about to establish their own righteousness as to their conviction, as to what they think that Christ has said and what it is all about. Then they have literally driven him out. And they've got ball games and parties and frolics and everything else. And they say there is nothing wrong with it. Having seared their conscience with a hot iron, they've got past feeling. And they do what they want to in that they've made faith shipwreck. And as in the book of Solomon, the Lord is seen out into the night, is to push out into their intellectual darkness, and he's knocking on the heart's door. And the Bible said the drops of the night are in his lock. And he's designed to come in as to saying, and whosoever will open unto me, I will come in at supper time. I will sup with him. So, folks, it's getting close to supper time. This is supper time. We sing the song, supper time. All right, let's sing together, can we? Come home, come home. It's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home. It's supper time, and we're going home at last. It's late. It's getting near supper time. And as the writer said, it's time to come home. It's supper time. That's why you see so many coming in. I made the statement. I said, and the youth will start coming back in. And I said, in this coming thing, as to a number of years ago, it will affect the heavens and the earth. And there will be a new way of life and a new order. And you have moved into it unawares. Today, the styling of the cars are new. Today, the styling of the clothing are new. Today, your activities are new. You are giving an account as to a computerized system. And if you're not Johnny on the spot, as it is said in the world, then you lose your credit rating. And it is different today. You've moved into an age where they don't marry anymore. They just live together like animals. And as to the foreign designs that's come in, and you've moved into an age to where now there's a new world order, as they say. And things have happened in the heavens, and things are happening in the earth, and even in the last few days where they say that now we've discovered heaven. And they showed the picture of this great, beautiful city where they can faintly see it, that's in the Milky Way. And now they say they know there's a heaven. And as we were saying the other day, having heard those sounds come forth out of the earth, we brought you a little bit about that. They say they know there's a hell now because they could hear the screaming in the earth. Whatever it might be, scientists has intellectually defined it as to being a believer. Whereas it is true that when Pharaoh finally went in to try to cross the Red Sea, it was too late. Grace was gone, as we were said, and it become his entombment. So then things is happening. It's a new world. It's a new way of life. And many things that we could point out to you. But the thing is, the harvest has come. The summer's gone. Now, some of you are not saved yet. Jesus said, work while it is day, for soon the night cometh when no man can work. Which means that when the light of the mind of Christ is to the light of the world, the grace of God is gone. The intellectual constraint of the old tree of knowledge of the people that rule here in the world as to Satan and his intellectual concept of colonists, it will be gross darkness to cover the people, and they will gnaw their tongues for pain. Let's sing again, can we? When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call at set of sun, come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Sing that with me. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Sing that with me now. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. In memories now, I can see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I can hear once more. For the banquet table's ready up in glory, and it's supper time upon the golden shore. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home,
mid supper time we're going on at last. While we're singing these little choruses together, though you might be a little bit tired, we invite you to come down to the altar. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that that which I've committed unto the Lord, that he's able to keep it against that great day, whereas they said, in the great day of his wrath has come. If you've never made the commitment, now's the time to make the commitment. He's faithful who promised. He said, I will come, and he will come. He will come. So I will sing this little chorus and give you a chance to come down. Let's sing the little chorus, there's room at the cross for you at the table. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. For at the cross where I saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Was there by faith I received my sight, now I'm happy all the day. While we're singing, why don't we all come down to the altar? And the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And knowing that the time is near, and even tomorrow, the declaration of war may take place, let's all come down to the altar. Let's all check our hearts, condition our hearts. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the believing in the word as to having him for your master, or if you are in the faith. Do you have a conviction of believing in what he said? If so, then come down the altar and let's just worship God together. Can all of you come down? All right. One more time. So at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Let's sing this little chorus. When I stand upon the mountain, looking o'er into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. For after all this life, life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain also cold, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. For after all, life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain also tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. I don't need no gold or silver, and I don't need no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. God's everything, so I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no worldly thing. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my everything. Let's sing this little chorus. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And let the rain fall, the sunshine, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. We'll let tomorrow help me, Frank. Tomorrow I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if I'll be happy, oh so happy. Can you sing it one more time with me? So let tomorrow be tomorrow. We'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, we'll be happy, oh so happy in our soul. Can we lift our hands together, close our eyes, and another weekend is gone, another day is finished. And with God, there's no certain day. To worship Him 7 days through is to love Him. We've come to the time to where those things that was imposed upon the people are no more. As to types and shadows, and Paul said, days and times and seasons, I'm afraid of you because you esteem one day above another. But he said that we should love the Lord with all of our heart every day. Every day, all of our strength. and we should serve the Lord all the time. So let's do that. Let's love the Lord. Let's condition our heart. If you've never given your heart to God, then let's give a heart to God tonight. Will you? The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and confession unto salvation is made with the lips. Will you therefore believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as I preached, and then make the confession from your heart? Heavenly Father, I believe in your lovely Son Jesus, and I believe that you've taken away my sins. And Heavenly Father, I call upon your name tonight. Forgive me, O Lord, of my sins, and let your lovely Spirit come into my heart. For, O God, I love you, and I want to serve you. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling on you right now as we talk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the wonderful, loving Holy Ghost as the precious Holy Spirit falls upon you. As your hearts go out to God, as your souls go out to God, I felt the faith of these men over here as their spirit went out to God. And you need to let your spirit go out, and you need to turn loose your spirit to God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on His name so that you can have salvation. You need to do it just as I felt the Spirit among the men. I need to feel it among you too. Hallelujah. We're going to pray just a little together, and then we're going to sing another chorus. Father, Lord of heaven, we lift up holy hands made holy by your Son Jesus. And dear wonderful God, we with our own lips, we communicate with you, and we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Father, you said it would come to pass that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord, that they would be saved. And seeing the war, Father, and seeing these things happen, know that the rapture could take place any time, Father, for we know that it will not go over to the boycotting of Israel, and it's near as to the boycotting, but Father, around the first part, Lord, of Daniel's last week, oh God, we know that you will seal the Jews, and with that the church will be gone. And Father, we know that any time something could happen. So Heavenly Father, we pray that our heart will be in Thee, oh God, as we call upon Thy name, that you may save us, and Lord, that you may give salvation to us and to them that are around the world. We ask it in Jesus' lovely name. Hallelujah. The writer said, I'm going back to the chapel there in search of his hands. Why I ever strayed from him, I don't understand. I'm going back to the chapel in search of his hands. Those hands that were so tender, that healed the sick and blind, those hands that were so tender and to me were so very kind. Why I ever strayed from his presence, I just can't understand. I'm going back to the chapel there in search of his hands. As we sing together tonight to worship the Lord, the Bible said to pray for one another, to confess your faults to one another, that you may be healed. It is when you come together to confess your faults one to another that then your conscience is clear and faith comes, and then are you healed. So we're going to sing another little chorus together, Brother Taylor. The writer said, down from his glory to bring the everlasting story. Then Brother Taylor sings the song, He Hath Rent the Veil in Two. Let kings and queens bow down before him, as the song that we wrote. Precious years of memory, oh, what joy bring to me. How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when we kneel in the old country church. How I wish that today all the people would pray as we did in the old country church. Sing it with me. Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I want once more to be with my friends at the old country church. Those precious years in memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. Let's just bow our heads together and lift our hands. Let's sing the little chorus we sing so often. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And will give Him glory all ye faithful, for His blood has washed the weary sin. Once again, so we. I want Brother Richard Jew come up and dismiss us, if he will. I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give Him glory all day. For His blood has washed away our sin. Once more. So let us praise.